Welcome to Standing in the Sunlight with Cynthia Rose. We are all on an ever-unfolding unique journey. Join Cynthia Rose as she begins her unique perspective to all that is meaningful. Topics and personalities that support your path, bringing inspiration and passion and heart-centered ways to live a more fulfilling life. A down-to-earth and uplifting sharing of what it means to be spiritual, creative, and living life to the fullest by standing in the sunlight. Born an intuitive medium, Cynthia Rose is also an ordained minister, singer, astrologer, educator, and writer. She has studied the intuitive and healing arts for over 40 years. Rise up and stand in your sunlight now with Cynthia Rose.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world. I'm Cynthia Rose. I'm so excited to be here. And I've just got to mention a couple of things. Also, if you're listening on playback, welcome. So glad that you're listening. And we have a great show for you today. You can always get in touch with me through Facebook, that's Cynthia Rose Medium. I'm on Instagram at Cynthia Rose Medium. I'm on Twitter. I'm not there much, but I'm there. And I have a new YouTube channel, Cynthia Rose Medium. Would love it if you would subscribe and join me over there for staying in touch. And I'm so happy to be here. Where I am, we have a power outage today, so I'm so glad that this is working. Brings you right back to the basics. So today I'm excited to have a guest on our show, Dr. Deva Khalsa, veterinarian, talking about those animals we love so much. I just want to tell you a little bit about her and then we'll bring her on the show. As a highly progressive thinker, Dr. Khalsa does not exclude any body of medical or health theory. Instead, she becomes educated about as many forms as possible. She then evaluates them and applies the most effective techniques in each, resulting in a career-long history and reputation as a lifesaver for ailing animals who would not have survived had they not been brought to her for treatment. In sum, Dr. Deva has been able to integrate the best of all possible worlds and as a result has been able to create incredibly effective treatment protocols. Dr. Deva's passion for providing good health and healing to our animal companions has led her to travel the world to places such as England, India, and Brazil, where she works side by side with each country's finest veterinarians and homeopaths. It is because of Dr. Deva's willingness and keen ability, I can't talk today apparently, to embrace the best of each of these healing worlds that she's so often featured as a veterinary expert on all forms of radio and TV, from National Public Radio to Martha Stewart's veterinary satellite radio show to her many appearances on major television networks. She earned her degree from the University of Pennsylvania School of Veterinary Medicine in 1981. From her earliest years as a veterinarian, Dr. Deva trained in homeopathy along with many other holistic modalities, and soon began developing her own treatment protocols, drawing from her rapidly growing knowledge base. Since beginning her holistically oriented veterinary practice over 25 years ago, Dr. Deva has been incorporating homeopathy, acupuncture, Chinese herbs, nutritional advice, allergy elimination techniques such as NAET. Today, her work is a blend of sophisticated holistic techniques and traditional veterinary medicine designed to best enhance the natural strengths and attributes of her patient. Aside from her impressive career and dedication to teaching within the veterinary world, Dr. Deva loves sharing her knowledge with the public. She co-authored Healing Your Horse, Alternative Therapies, most recently, Dr. Khalsa's Natural Dog, a book best described as a holistic Bible for dog owners, She's presently working on a similar book for the caretakers of cats. As anyone knows cats, no one ever owns a cat. And then there's also the allergic pet. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kalsa.
Oh, thank you so much. And I'm excited to be here, too.
Yeah, well, we're talking about a subject near and dear to so many of our hearts. I know we have two dogs and two cats, and I frequently fall in love with others, but every time I want a dog, my husband says, okay, then we have to get another cat, and then we go, okay, no, that's enough.
So, when I was in veterinary school, I had three dogs and I think seven or eight cats, and when I took the dogs for a walk, all the cats would come, and I lived in an area off of City Line Avenue in Philadelphia that were basically row houses, townhouses, you'd call them today. Those days, I don't think there were townhouses. That was 40 years ago. And when I went for a walk, everyone came. And it was sort of like the Pied Piper.
I love it.
When you're young, you think you can handle anything. There you are with hours of school and study, and yet you have all these animals. But I always loved it.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for you to tell us all about any tips or talk about maybe your books. And because our pets are like our family there. And there's so many of us out there wishing there's something else we could do to help them along. And there's so much, we've grown so much in terms of what we can do for humans. But I think there's also, you don't want to give your animal something that is going to harm them. Like, for instance, I saw something in here about a lavender spray, and I had read somewhere, that you could harm them with anything like that. So there's fear about giving them something natural.
Well, let's start from the beginning, because we haven't scripted anything to talk about today. But in what you said just now, let's talk about how we're really harming them, and let's talk about how we can actually help them.
And I love it.
One of the ways we're harming our animals is we're exposing them to Big Pharma's lies. When you and I get a polio vaccine when we're tiny, what happens is it lasts our entire life, and we're not worried that our Aunt Tilly, who's 80 years old, is going to get polio because she had her vaccine 77 years ago. Vaccines for viruses last for life. So the distemper and the parvo, which is what you worry about for dogs, and the feline distemper, which is what you worry about for cats, that vaccine, if one is given after 18 weeks of age, it's good for life. So you're going in every year to the veterinarian. Some veterinarians are more progressive, quote unquote, and they do it every 3 years. But actually, you need one vaccination for distemper and parvo, and one vaccination for feline distemper, which is what's in those booster shots, and that's the part you worry about. The rest of the stuff is fluff. And it lasts for life. But you're going in every single year because you're bowing to Big Pharma. And what happens is these vaccines don't only have the viruses you paid for. They have contamination, viruses that are contaminating them. In fact, that's how parvo disease in dogs began. It began in India, England, the United States, all at the same time. Was it India? Japan, United States and England at the same time. It was the feline distemper, which is called feline panleukopenia virus, that had contaminated the dog vaccines, and no one cared because it was a cat virus. And suddenly it mutated and it jumped species, and it became a brand new disease. So you have lots of viruses that you paid for, didn't pay for. You have bits of egg, you have bits of bovine serum, and you have all kinds of immune modulators in there. And that makes the immune system react to the egg and the chicken, causes a lot of allergies in pets. So if vaccines were water and they didn't harm pets, I would say, oh, who cares? But your pet doesn't need that viral booster every year. And what happens is children used to get 5 vaccines. Now this generation is getting 36. The same thing is happening with dogs. They're adding in canine influenza. They're adding in leptospirosis. These vaccines are not necessary, and I don't want to go into a half-hour dialogue on why and bore everyone, but my book, The Natural Pet, has an appendix, and all of these opinions I'm giving are not mine. These are of the best veterinary immunologists in the world. These are not my opinions. These are the people in universities who don't have a buck to make by giving a vaccination. They're very well known. They're all quoted, and their work is footnoted. So the thing is that cats are being given leukemia virus vaccines, or which they don't need, and it's not good for them. All kinds of extra vaccines in addition to that. So first of all, we're over-vaccinating our pet population. The result of that, along with other things, is an explosion of cancer and an explosion of autoimmune disease and an explosion of allergies. 1 in 2 dogs is going to die of cancer. The rabies vaccine actually carries a bunch of viruses in it that nobody pays for that commonly causes cancer. And it's so common that there's a name for it. My alma mater, University of Pennsylvania, found it, I think, in 1970s. It's called vaccine-associated sarcoma. And at the site of injection, which is usually at the base of the neck in cats, they kept developing these fibrosarcoma tumors. So they began to teach students to give the vaccination in the leg or at the end of the tail so they could amputate, because there's no way you can cure this cancer. That's how common it is. So we really go in and we love our animals and we want to do everything we want for them when we go in for an office visit. But in the veterinary hospital, they're recommending far too many vaccinations. And if you educate yourself, my book, The Allergic Pet, has all the information about vaccinations. And my book, Dr. Kalfa's Natural Dog, does too, although The Allergic Pet covers both cats and dogs. Then you can have an educated discussion with your veterinarian and say, look, here's what I read, and these are what the top immunologist says, and do I really need this? And then you can decide not to give it, and you're going to have a healthier animal. And a couple of other things that we're exposing them to are flea and tick preventives. I do consults all over the world, and mostly in the United States, and I do them by phone. I get all the medical records and all the history, and I'm amazed at how many people in Minnesota in the winter are giving flea and tick prevention and heartworm disease prevention, because there's mosquitoes carry heartworm, and there are no mosquitoes in the middle of the winter in Minnesota. In fact, for many months there are no mosquitoes, and there's certainly no fleas and ticks. Depending on your dog's lifestyle, you can decide what you want to do to prevent fleas and ticks. Some people get ticks, some people get fleas, some people get nothing. And so giving a very, very toxic compound on a monthly basis or every 3 months to prevent them when you might have a lifestyle where you never get them is very dangerous for your dogs. You're basically making them into a poison-soaked sponge. It's as if you wanted to kill cockroaches, so you poured cockroach poison on sponges that you had left over in your laundry room. You put them around the kitchen. The next day you found a couple of cockroaches a couple of rooms away, dead by the baseboards. Well, when you put this on your dog, there's enough of this poison circulating through his blood, which is his liver, kidney, everything. Every organ gets it, so that when the flea or tick bites, it actually gets that poison right then and there and dies instantly. And some of this stuff lasts for 3 months. And it's common sense, it actually can't be healthy. They certainly try to make it so that it doesn't kill your dog, but I have lots of articles on my site that I've written for Dogs Naturally and Animal Wellness, which goes over in detail all the research that has been done on these products and how dangerous they actually are. And there's EPA warnings. The FDA just gave warnings about some of the newer stuff, seizures and death. So we're doing and thinking that I have a lecture that I give called In the Name of Love. And I say, we love them so much. So in the name of love, we do all of this, but we only think about it so far. If you actually thought about it more deeply, you would see that you're actually poisoning your animals and harming your animals by doing what Big Pharma recommends at this point in time, because what it's basically doing is putting money into the pockets of corporations.
Right. Yeah, that's sad. I have to say that's been my intuition or my sense is that the over vaccination, but it's good to hear it from you. And I'm sure there's someone else, a listener, that feels that way, because, you know, we have a cat that's one's 12, one's 14, and they're both very healthy. We feed them good food. They're very well cared for and they're very healthy, but it just seemed like constantly vaccinating them, and they weren't even going outside. Do you know what I mean? So now they're We've actually got them, like, we have trained our cats to be in a yard, so that, and we've got fences, so they can go outside and come in and get some fresh air. But, you know, one of the vets said to me, oh, well, you know, if another cat comes in the yard, that's it. They can now get distemper.
What's the other cat going to bring? First of all, when a cat's immune system matures, which is at a year of age, they're pretty immune to everything. And this is Dr. Ronald Schultz from University of Wisconsin Veterinary School. Secondly, that one vaccine for the only thing you care about, which is distemper, okay, that you can really vaccinate against, is good for life. Thirdly, just rabies vaccines are a legal phenomenon, so you must get rabies vaccines because the state county requires it. But veterinary students, this was after I graduated, they get one vaccination when they're veterinary students, and they know it's going to last for life. I was lecturing somewhere, and a woman who was an animal control officer raised her hand and told me that she thought animals got far too many rabies vaccines. I thought, what a strange person to hear that from. You know, I had this image of her trying to capture some large Rottweiler who was drooling, you know, and, you know, I'd be thinking, oh, my God, what if I got rabies? So she said, I got a rabies vaccine 25 years ago, and because of the nature of my job, every year I get my titer checked, and every year it's very high. And I had patients when I had my physical practice in Pennsylvania that could not get a rabies shot because of illness. And, by the way, the American Veterinary Medical Association says that it's okay for your veterinarian, and this is not the holistic one, it's the regular one, to write a note to your township stating that your dog is ill and cannot get a rabies vaccine at this time. They will reevaluate and check the time when they feel your dog or cat can get it, but please excuse them and give them their license. And most townships accept that. But the rabies vaccine that you're getting, you know, and she said my titers are checked every year for 25 years, and they've always been high. And when I had to check titers on these animals, because the people were worried, I said, let's just check a titer. They're always high. Rabies, again, is a viral vaccine. Viral vaccines last for life. Distemper, parvo, feline distemper, rabies are viral. Certain vaccines are bacterial, like Lyme vaccine. That's bacterial. Leptospirosis is bacterial. The kennel cough vaccine is bacterial. And if these vaccines actually last only 4 months or so to really cover them, and this is according to Dr. Ronald Schultz, not me, dogs and cats would have to be vaccinated 3 to 4 times a year. And the reason that lepto was pulled out of the combination vaccines for pets, for dogs, is because it made them all sick. And there were dogs in England dying from the vaccination, and, you know, there's this documentation of it. So the thing is that you don't need them. And if you don't need them, but you're convinced, they hit the fear factor. They hit the fear factor. What if a cat gets in your yard? Okay. What if a cat goes in your yard? The chance of anything being transmitted is so low. People whose dogs and cats have never gotten fleas, but they think, what if my dog or cat got one flea? And there are natural products that are really good that get rid of fleas. And lavender is not necessarily a toxic ingredient if used appropriately. But there are natural products that get rid of ticks and fleas very well or prevent them. There's a company called Deserving Pets, and it has some good products. They only carry what works. If a season comes and it's not working, they pull it off the site. But another thing that we should know that happens with dogs and cats is I just wrote an article for Dogs Naturally, and these studies were amazing. You know, there's something called glyphosate that is sprayed on our lawns and on our food. It's in Roundup.
Yeah.
In fact, in the United States, it doesn't happen in England I don't know about England, but it doesn't happen in France or Germany or Italy. They do not spray their crops with Roundup before they harvest them. But they spray wheat and other grains in the United States with Roundup, even though it's not Roundup-ready product. It's just they spray it so that it all dies at once and the kernels mature synchronously, so that when they harvest it, they get mature kernels. But what happens is it gets into the food. But more, and there's just been a study on someone took 20 random wines and beers, and out of 20, 19 of them had glyphosate in them. I had a client just recently from California whose dogs kept getting osteosarcoma, so she analyzed all the dog food, about 6 different brands. She's sending me an entire packet of information. They all had glyphosate in them. And studies have shown, and these are real studies from real places. I could read them off, but that when you use Roundup on your property or any product containing glyphosate more than 4 times a year, your dog's chance of getting lymphosarcoma goes up 70%.
Okay, we're going to be back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Some knowledge belongs to us and us alone. The way our girlfriends walk, talk, touch their hair. Details that only a sister can know about her girls. But what about our other girls? The ones we carry with us every day. Our bond with our sister girls gives life. But knowing your breasts can save it. Go to knowyourgirls.org for the facts you need on breast health. Brought to you by Susan G. Coleman and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back with Dr. Khalsa. I just wanted to mention to our listeners that in her book, The Allergic Pet, in the appendix, there is core vaccination protocols for dogs or cats. In case you're worried and trying to jot down notes, you can just get the book. And she's got a list here of everything that's, you know, important to get. So, are you there, Dr. Khalsa?
I am, and I'm glad that we got okay. The unpleasant stuff over now so that we can get to the more pleasant part. Because the basic part that we just went over is try to minimize all the toxins and poisons that you're putting into your pet's environment. And that includes vaccinations, that includes lawn care treatment, that includes flea and tick treatment. And because even when you spray your lawn, when you think, gee, it rains and it's gone, and no, it forms a mist, and your pet is running through it. And when there's little dew drops are on the grass, and your lawn's been treated by your chemical lawn guy, and your dog's run out all happy, it's absorbing right through the pads of their toes because we wear shoes and they don't. So lawn treatments are important to take a look at. So minimizing toxins are great. Now, you know, there's only so much you can do because if you're neighbor uses a lot of stuff, or even two houses away, it shifts. There's a shift of the mist, and the studies have shown this. So you want to really give your dog a healthy diet and add natural foods to it. Chlorophyll is extremely healthy. Chlorophyll is exactly
perfect.
Like
perfect.
A red blood cell.
Perfect. I just wanted to say that's perfect because I was going to ask you, what about feeding them and supplements and all that? So great. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Go on. Carry on.
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah, so chlorophyll is actually the exact same composition as a red blood cell, except chlorophyll has a magnesium molecule in the middle of it, and red blood cell has heme, has iron, has an iron molecule. And, you know, dogs try to eat grass. Now, why is that? Because grass isn't digestible. Because their bodies want chlorophyll. They can't open up the refrigerator and just say, I'm in the mood for a big arugula salad. They can't do that. They don't want an arugula salad anyway, to tell you the truth. But they know they need greens, and so they try to eat grass. And grass is decorative. It's never been a food, or else we'd be putting it in salads. To give an example of how far our civilization has changed from common sense to being mind-melded by commercials and big pharma, is that dandelions come up in the spring, and the springtime is when your body needs to be cleansed and needs to be purified. And so Italians would always gather dandelions in the spring and put it in a great salad with some olive oil and some garlic and dressing and eat it. And dandelion's amazing. It's more powerful in the liver than milk thistle. It cleans it, it heals it. And the dandelion leaves clean the lymphatic system of your body, flush your kidneys. So in the spring, when your body wants to go through a natural spring cleaning, because the extra light actually stimulates your pineal gland to start a spring cleaning process after winter for the summer, which is why in the spring people start craving typically healthier food. You don't want to eat a Christmas dinner, let's say, on June 1st. And same thing with dogs. So they try to eat grass because they know the chlorophyll will help. But what do? On our lawns, when these dandelions come up, we spray them with chemicals. We spray them with chemicals because they're not pretty. And we've forgotten that this world provides us with everything we need, with such beauty. Everything from the sound of birds singing to the smell of flowers to the variety of life on this planet. It is. There's such abundance, and we forget it. And somehow we want to be like proper middle class citizens, and so we run out and spray our lawns and kill the dandelion as fast as we can, forgetting completely that it's been given to us at that time because our bodies actually need it. So dogs can today, you know, people talk a lot about how dogs are wolves, and they're actually not wolves. They have a completely different pack structure from wolves, and they also have completely different digestive enzymes than wolves. A Norwegian scientist studied the digestive enzymes in dogs and found out they had several digestive enzymes that digested starch. Wolves don't have that. Some of them are very similar to cows' enzymes, and of course cows digest starch just fine. So dogs can digest starch, and more so, they can also digest vegetables, fruits, healthy fruits and healthy vegetables if they're prepared properly. And they need them nowadays. Now, in the wild, the wolf would eat the intestines of whatever they killed, which was filled with semi-digested vegetables. And in a kibbled dog food, even though they put dried broccoli, things like that in there, it's not the same as fresh vegetables and fresh food. So dogs actually can enjoy vegetables if they're prepared properly. My book, Dr. Carlson's Natural Dog, has a whole section on time-tested, cooked recipes by veterinary students, tried out on lots of dogs that are healthy, that are balanced, and that they like. But even taking when you're cooking broccoli and you have that stem that you don't really use, you throw it away. You cut it in quarter eighths, you give it to your dog, and most dogs chew it and like it like a bone. So giving dogs some healthy greens. Yeah,
that's what we do. Actually, in the winter, we take the stem of our broccoli, the stem of our cauliflower, and our dogs love it. We give them carrots sometimes. And it's interesting, we got a rescue a couple of years ago. And our dog, we were giving what the manufacturer said on the bag, and we couldn't figure out. Our dog kept gaining weight. We went to the vet, and he said, "Well, you're feeding him too much." And I said, "Well, I'm only feeding him what I'm supposed to." And he said, "Well, feed him less." So we fed him less, and he still didn't lose weight. I mean, this went on for months. I'm thinking it was like a year later. I was frustrated because he wasn't losing weight. And he said, "Well, you know, he's having breathing problems when he sleeps. He's snoring because of his weight." I thought, "What am I supposed to do? He's not losing weight." Well, we got this rescue dog. She came in, and you know, he taught her a little bit, like, it's safe here, you're okay. And she loves vegetables, so you know, we're chopping up a red cabbage, and she's just like, "Oh, can I have some of that?" You know,
I love it.
You know, and she's like, and you know, we harvest from the garden, we've got a bean, and she wants some beans. And I mean, she wants some of her vegetables. Well, he wouldn't. Before that, he didn't really eat too many vegetables, but now he'll eat it because she eats it. they eat really, really healthy. But I just wanted to go back to something you said to listeners about chlorophyll. Are you saying that they could give a supplement of chlorophyll to their animals, or just using the term that they need greens?
No, they can definitely give a chlorophyll supplement, and dogs don't mind it. They don't like the mint flavored, but there are liquid forms. There are powdered forms that people use. It's all over the place. A good company, a good brand, you sprinkle some chlorophyll in their food, they'll eat it just fine. Or you put a drop of chlorophyll or a few drops. You just take whatever the human dose is. It's chlorophyll. It's not a drug. You take whatever the human dose is, you reduce it. If you have a tiny dog by a quarter, you know, a big dog, you give them the whole thing, and a medium-sized dog, you give them half of it. And that chlorophyll goes in the system, and it actually cleans and detoxes. There's so many things you can do. I like to give dogs a dandelion supplement in the spring just to flush their systems and do a little spring cleaning. My book, I think it's The Natural Pet. I forget which one, actually. It has a you know, spring cleaning herbal combination that you can give your dog. And for cats, by the way, let's not forget our feline friends. They love kitty greens usually. And, you know, you can buy them. You can go online and buy kitty greens, and it's three pots. And you put those grains in them, and you water them, and you let one pot grow, and then you wait a week and start the next, and you synchronize them that way. And then once you buy it and do it once, you can say, wow, I can do this myself. This is a no-brainer. I'll just go to the health food store, buy the grains that I want, get three pots. And then they'll love these kitty greens. They'll eat them, and they're going to get their chlorophyll that way. And very healthy for our cats. Excellent. And by the way, cats also really like coconut oil, which is good for them. And you give them like a teaspoon
yes.
a day. Most cats think it's ice cream.
Yeah, we give them a little bit of coconut oil. They just love it. I mean, I think our dogs are if we eat healthy, then they're healthy, you know. So, but what about avocado?
Avocado is fine for dogs, and also avocado oil is good. Avocado is extremely healthy. I'm just reading this lectin-free diet, the Plant Paradox book. I'm going, what can you eat? They love avocados. They feel it's very healthy, but avocados are great for dogs. Cats, I don't think cats will eat avocado, but avocados are definitely one of the healthiest foods.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah, it's hard to know. It's nice to have someone like yourself putting it all together, because there's so many. I mean, you really can't just go on the web and know that what you've got is true, honestly, because anybody could come up to somebody's post and they're not. You really got to do your research.
Absolutely. I have an article out. Oh, pardon me.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say, because there's so much fear-based stuff out there. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what they do, by the way. That's why my books are calming, especially Dr. Kalsa's Natural Dog, and it tells you how to cook everything. For instance, if you give a dog a carrot and they eat it when it's not cooked, they're not going to digest it, and they're going to poop, and there's going to be little orange pieces in it, because that's the carrot they just ate. So if you cook a carrot, they'll digest it, but a broccoli stem they can digest. And Dr. Kalsa's Natural Dog goes over everything. But as far as what you said on the web, it's absolutely true, because people are terrified of giving their dog garlic. Now, garlic will prevent disease. It actually kills bacteria that are even resistant to antibiotics. It builds the immune system, detoxifies the system. And if you could die, my article on garlic, which is garlic good for your dog? And my site, by the way, which is drdeva.com, drdeva.com. You click the magazine, there's tons of articles. You can do a search, but it gives all the facts about garlic. And I had a conversation with the dog food supplementation center that looks at every adverse reaction. And they said, and we're so glad you're writing this article, because there's all this hype on the web that garlic is bad for dogs. And now, you don't give garlic to cats, but that garlic is bad for dogs, and we don't see any adverse reactions. If someone fed their dog, you have to feed, in my article, don't quote me on this, I think you have to feed a golden retriever 75 cloves of garlic twice a day to get a reaction. So giving your dog a clove of garlic, depending on the size, and you'd read my article to figure it out, is a very healthy thing. And if you cut it up fine and you let it sit out for 10 minutes, a chemical reaction occurs, and something called allicin is formed, which is incredibly healthy. It's like a natural antibiotic and cleanser that's totally healthy. And it's all in the article, and it's excellent. It's excellent. So let's go to more good things we can do for our pets. We can.
Well, just before you go to that, I just want to say that the onion. So the two things I really worry about is onions and grapes. If anybody, is that right?
Yeah, onions, grapes, and chocolate, and what do you call it? Xylitol. The smallest amount of xylitol in a dog kills it dead. And so many people use it and cook for it, and they sometimes put it in peanut butter, and if you don't read the label and you give your dog the peanut butter, it's in gum if your dog steals a stick of gum, and then they wind up in the emergency room. It causes a sudden dump of insulin, and really, it's, I mean, I have an article, Why Xylitol is Bad for Your Dog. I had a client from Pennsylvania. Her dog had eaten 3 mini cupcakes made with xylitol. It had been in the emergency room for 24 to 48 hours. Its liver had failed. Its kidneys had failed. It was anemic. It couldn't stand. And they were telling him to put him to sleep. And I said, you go to a compounding pharmacy and you get glutathione compounded, and I want you to get 500 milligrams IV in the IV fluids. And she did it, and the dog was standing in an hour or two. All of its levels were normal 4 hours later, and it went home that evening. So you can treat it, and glutathione you can only get in a compounding pharmacy. But, you know, the thing is that it's very serious. The xylitol is a big one. You know, grapes, veterinarians, we talk about it. We're confused. I have not met a veterinarian that knows why grapes are toxic to dogs. I had a dog in veterinary school. She used to roll grapes around the floor for hours and eat them. And I used to study, and in the side of my eye, I used to watch her for fun. And there was never a problem. And suddenly there was just the rare random dog that eats a grape and dies. And why? I don't know. Onions, you have to give a lot of onions for a dog to get sick. In other words, if you made gravy for the family that had 2 onions in it and it was serving for 10 and you gave a dog a few spoons of gravy, it wouldn't hurt them at all. They have to eat a lot of onions. It's the Rottweiler that goes into the cabinet and eats a bag of onions that gets sick. Chocolate, they have to eat a lot of chocolate to get sick. But still, you don't want chocolate, you don't want onions, and you don't want xylitol. And grapes, even though I don't really know why.
Okay, all right, good. We got that finished. So when we come back for the last section of the show, we'll hear what else you can do for your pet with Dr. Deva Khalsa. Hold on.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World, with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back. We've talked about how we can look after our animals by what we feed them and the vaccinations. It's, you know, I don't know what else where you want to share. I do have a question, but I think you had something you wanted to share.
Well, I thought that we could go to receiving and transmitting energy for the very end and sort of raise the level of it. But let's do the question first.
So one thing, like I said, our cats are really healthy. But we have he was the runt of the litter. We have a Maine Coon, one of our cats. And every winter he gets kitty dandruff. We're in Colorado here, so it's really dry. And is that just the way that is, or is something we're not doing right? I mean...
Well, some of it, a lot of, you know, there's different cats, like, for instance, Fancy Feast is nutritionally incomplete as a food. So cat foods vary dramatically, and the food makes a difference. There's a vitamin called Vital Vites for cats by Deserving Pets, and it stops shedding, and it stops dandruff. And if you give that with coconut oil every day, it would just completely stop the whole thing.
Okay. Okay, we'll try that, because I know we've got some Colorado listeners, and I think we use Pura Vida is what they get, but we have extremely picky cats.
Well, yeah, this particular vitamin is microencapsulated, so they can't taste it. So they can't taste the dandelion in it. They can't taste the kale. You know, they can't taste any of it because it's microencapsulated. And then it's flavored with a natural liver flavoring, and so they love it. And it was created to really give it. It's actually all human products. In other words, it's not made in an animal facility, and it's the most complete feline vitamin out there. And they actually like it in their food, and the company has a money back guarantee. So it's good. It's a good vitamin. Anyway, let's go to DNA, because I think let's supersede the fact that we've all cowed to doing things that are not healthy for our pets, because we want to do the best we can for our pets. We love them, and we're being inundated with information that tells us to buy. And that's the nature of life in this 21st century, okay? It's buy. And so you have to go and get all these flea stings and all this other stuff and all these vaccines and do all this. And really, if you didn't do it, your pet would be healthier. And what my books do is try to give you common sense. They educate you. They're actually, the doctor calls his natural dog, applies to cats as well in many ways. And it actually makes you smarter. That's why I wrote it. It makes you think. It makes you be able to have a dialogue with your vet. That's why they call it the Bible, and it's actually fun reading. And you get perspective on it all so that you can handle it without feeling confused, so that you can take more control of the health of your animal and do it with confidence and do it smartly and wisely, you know, so you're not tripping over your own feet. That's why I wrote those books. And allergies are such a problem now because of everything that everyone's doing. And when I treat allergies, I actually use something I developed called allergy elimination for pets, which simply makes the allergic pet into the non-allergic pet. It just handles the allergies. Dogs with diarrhea or itching, cats with the same thing. You treat them and they don't have it anymore. But the person has to learn how to decrease the toxins. And by the way, there's a lot of heavy metal toxicity now that I've noticed in pets and most probably in people. And the only thing I can think to attribute it to is the chemtrails, because it's been a huge increase. But let's go to DNA. We all have DNA, and DNA is the building block of life. And it's colorful. It actually has, DNA is made up of colors. It has primary reds and greens and blues and yellows in it. And DNA is a frequency transmitter and a frequency receiver. So DNA receives frequencies. And what it does is it remembers what's going on and then tells future generations what to do. You know, it keeps us alive by taking good notes and storing that information for future generations. It provides the survival instructions to the body. And we never think of DNA as receiver. We're taught in school that what DNA does is make protein, and that's it. And that's 3% of its function. That's all, 3% of its function. So when we're talking about our pets, and we remember that DNA is a transmitter and receiver, we have to realize that the energy that we flow to them is something that they're receiving in their DNA. And so if we're worrying over them, and by the way, I think that commercials or what we read, and it makes us worry about our pets. And then we go on the web and we're not sure if it's correct and we worry more. And there's a lot of fear in there. And we're directing that towards our animals, okay? Because 90% of DNA function is in bioacoustic and bioelectric signaling, all right? So it's an electromagnetic energy reception and transmission. So what I'm going to say in relation to this is that there is a Dr. Emoto, and you probably all know about him, in Japan, who wrote a couple of books, The Hidden Messages in Water. You direct gratitude to water and you fast freeze it, and it becomes a beautiful snowflake. You know, you direct hatred or fear, and it becomes a blob. And we talk about people who say grace over their food before they eat it. And what they're actually doing is they're instilling that food with a frequency by expressing gratitude, which makes that beautiful snowflake toward their food. So when you prepare your dog's food, no matter what you're feeding him, you can, you know, hold his bowl in your hand or your cat's bowl for 30 seconds and just express gratitude that you have this wonderful pet and that you're feeding him this healthful food, and express gratitude for everything that you've been given in life, and then feed your dog. That gratitude will then extend to your pet. And because what's happening to so many of us is we're getting locked in this worry about, it's the ring around the collar phenomena. I don't know if you're old enough to remember this commercial, but I was, you know, I'm 60, almost 66. And actually, I've been a vet for 40 years, not 25, but I like the 25. It made me feel younger. But the thing is that there was a woman, and her husband's going to work, and he has a ring around his collar because they didn't use the right, laundry detergent. And she's mortified, and she's horrified. And this happens all the time in advertising to us. So let's say your dog gets one flea. For whatever reason, you go to the vet because your dog is itching, and they find a flea, and they go, your dog has a flea. And they look at you like, oh, my God, what a bad doggy mom. And there are natural products that will get rid of that flea. You can deal with the fleas. There's all kinds of ways you can deal with it. And, you know, my book has some of it. There are companies that carry stuff that works very well. But you feel terribly guilty. And because of this, you put your dog on a toxic, carcinogenic, thyrotoxic, hepatotoxic product every day of his life. You're soaking him in poison because there was one flea found on his body. Because you've gotten the ring around the collar guilt. And you're afraid, and you're worried, and you love them, and you want to do the best for them. And we actually have to move out of this. We have to move into I actually bypass the system in my books purposely, because I want the person who reads that book to get smarter and wiser and be confident in what they know. And that's why I just don't give my opinion. I quote people. I put together a thesis that then when you read it, you go, I get it. And then sometimes there are dogs that need this toxic flea and tick medicine. In Florida, there are terrible fleas. Entomologists go to Florida to study the flea population. They're like no other fleas, and they're resistant to everything. And people can get terrible flea infections, and they have to use it a couple times to get rid of their fleas. But you have to be able to do what you're doing wisely, and not just because you're supposed to go somewhere to a store or an office and buy a product month after month so the growth goes up. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. It make me feel a lot of really good about the way we've been handling our pets, too, because I've been bucking the system. And, you know, we take the cats in for a checkup and they'll go, really? They're fine. You know, like almost sometimes there's a surprise, like, oh, there's not, they look healthy, they're fine. And you know, that makes me feel good. What about probiotics for animals?
Oh, this is the end of the show, and that's a long story. I know doctors have done studies. Most probiotics don't make it to the gut, the hydrochloric acid. In fact, just about all of them. The hydrochloric acid in the stomach simply kills them. I don't care if they're spores. I don't care what they are. They die. If they're dried up in the bottle, they're probably dead when you got them. There might be some companies where they're actually still alive. There's a few companies that actually make probiotics that make it to the gut. One is called Probonics. It's sold on Deserving Pets. It's a good product. It does make it to the gut because they acid wash it. There's all kinds of articles under the product that explain why, where, and how. The gut is very important because it has 80% of the immune system. I have a very good article on my site called The Gut Garden that explains the intestines, how they work, why they're important, and why the probiotics are also important in the gut. But we're not going to have time today for that.
Right. Enjoy speaking. I'm trying to think of any last questions a listener might have before we, remind them of your information. But it sounds to me like if we really love our pets, we need to get informed, not just believe what's out there and take the fear, but really get informed, just like we need to do with our own bodies.
You hit the nail on the head. And for some reason, people can be tougher about themselves and they can be tougher about their kids. But when it comes to their pets, they start to shiver when they think they're doing something wrong. I mean, it's amazing because they're part of our souls and our hearts. And unless you educate yourself and you learn the real truth, you wind up being part of the system, some sort of production line. It's the poison of that production line. And I hate to be mean, but I can tell you that I know pathologists, I know veterinarians, people who are not even holistic, and I'll say, you know, veterinary medicine is becoming, and they'll go, becoming. Major corporations have purchased many veterinary, you know, it used to be VCA, they were purchased by Mars, that huge food company. And basically, you're walking into a bunch of people who are working for a corporation, and they educate them and send them to continuing education seminars in a way so that they will make more money for the corporation. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, in the end, we have to all nowadays think for ourselves and always
truly.
Unfortunately, look that sometimes is that person trying to help us or trying to make money? Because when money becomes the bottom line, then the soul is gone out of it. It's lost. So important.
You're so right. What a perfect way to end this. Absolutely. You are so right. And it's much harder to learn what's really going on, what the truth of the matter is nowadays. Because if you go to search anything and look for anything, it's organized in a way that what first comes up, you know, is the people who are most savvy and have the most money who can make it come up, which is, again, you know, to sell.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just that whole thing is just, it's just gotten that way. The information's out there, but folks, you might need to purchase a book. You might need to learn yourself. You might need to go to, you know, if your pet is having, this one thing that I see a lot that kind of, you know, you see somebody's pet and they've got like some kind of growth or bump there. And I'll say, oh, what's that? And they'll say, oh, it's nothing. It's just what they get. And I'm thinking, how can that be nothing? Isn't that a sign that maybe something's not right? You know, so, I mean, I see it a lot. People, they little growths or things like stuff on their skin. And, you know, when it's pushing up through the skin, it's something that's saying the body's trying to get rid of it.
Yeah, a lot of that, like those little warts they get, is from over-vaccination. It's an over-vaccination phenomena.
Okay.
Yeah, and, you know,
okay.
I just want to say one thing, and that good medicine is irreplaceable. I'm very good at internal medicine. I'm very good at dermatology. I treat cancer very effectively. I treat allergies very effectively. I work with specialists all the time who are not holistic. And I'm good at what I do because I've always loved what I do and I've always been willing to learn more and learn more and learn more and never stop learning. So there is good medicine. So I don't want to deflect from the fact that good medicine is important. The proper test, the needle aspirate of a lump that you put on a slide and send to a pathologist to find out what kind of cells are in there. A lot of people, when they consult with me, call me their global navigating system because I'll say, ask the doctor to do this test in addition to those. It could be this kind of infection. And she'll go, thank you. Yeah, the doctor really appreciated it. And this is, you know, working for the benefit of the pet. So there is good medicine. It's just the routine yearly stuff is really based on a production line. But if your dog is sick and you want a veterinarian who can diagnose well and do good medicine, and, you know, that's just as important because when you know what's wrong and you understand it, there are a plethora of ways to treat these things, often holistically, because my practice in Pennsylvania drew from 5 states. I mean, people would get condos near me and rent them until I fixed their pet, and people would bring the most incurable problems to my practice. Because I studied far and wide with everyone and everybody, oftentimes I could fix these incurable problems. But there's always good medicine, too. You know, you had to also practice good medicine and find out what was going on and what you were treating and what you had in front of you. And then when you approached it, you could approach it from the proper angle.
Yeah, absolutely. What a great way to come to the end of the show also to, you know, if there's a listener out there and you've got a pet who's not well, you know, don't give up. There is a way to get them some help and not just to give in to this is the way it goes. And, you know, we all have to just learn more. So I just want to mention The Allergic Pet, Dr. Deva Khalsa. And could you mention your other books and how do people can get
well,
a hold
my,
of you?
Well, my books are The Allergic Pet and Dr. Khalsa's Natural Dog. My site is Dr. Deva, with Dr. spelled out, and Deva spelled D-E-V-A. And there's also a very interesting site for allergies called Allergy Elimination for Pets, and the 4 is the number 4. So Allergy Elimination for Pets explains a lot how allergies work, what's going on with them, how to make them go away. And I really love what I do. I mean, if anyone picked a vocation that was their heartfelt vocation, it was me. And it's so much fun to make them better. But what I really want at this point in my career, in my life, is to make pet owners smarter so that they can care for their pets. I can bypass any flukes in the system so that they can put all the pieces of the puzzle together and save money, save time, save worry, and know what they're doing. And that's the most important thing to me.
Fantastic. It's just been great to have you on the show. I hope that this has inspired some listeners to go to your website, get a book, not give up, look after their pets, let go of some fear, and just become informed. I can feel the passion about what you do. And you do phone consults, I'm sure, all the time. Yes?
Yes. Yes, all over the world,
okay.
Mostly in the United States.
Yes. Thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you for following your bliss, standing in the sunlight, and doing your part in this world. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.